Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
God is good. All the time. Amen. So we are kind of in the middle of a series right now on spiritual warfare. This is actually part number 4 and the second part on our weapons. So if you haven't been here before, if this is your first time, or maybe you've picked up in the middle of the series, just go ahead online and you can go to our website and you can find all the other parts. But don't worry, because every part is unique. And in every part, God has something for us that He wants to share with us. So I'm just going to start by reading the whole part out of Ephesians 6, verse number 10. Let's go there. Ephesians 6, verse number 10 out of the New King James Version. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Note the emphasis on stand. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Amen and amen. That is the scripture that we are sharing out of. And last time, 2 weeks ago, I shared with you out of the belt of truth. And it says, stand therefore, in verse number 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And we saw that it might be the most unimpressive or unimpressive piece of armor when it comes to looks. But when it comes to the belt of truth, it could possibly be one of the most important parts. And it's going to be funny, because it's going to be one of those sermons where I say, this is my favorite piece of armor. But the next one will also be my favorite piece. So the truth is that the belt of truth is essential, because without the truth, all the other parts of armor come apart. The sword is attached to the belt in its sheath. The breastplate is attached to the belt in order for the breastplate not to blow in the wind, or even for the breastplate to rest, because it was a very heavy part of armor. The belt was required. So we know the belt is the part of the armor that is absolutely essential. Without the truth inside you, all the other pieces come apart. As a believer, we must have the Word of God. We must have the truth of His Word, and we must live a lifestyle of truth, not of deception. The thing about not walking in the truth is it doesn't take long for you to begin to almost believe your own lie. So you think you're living in the truth, but no, you're not. You're living in deception all the time. And I've seen this so often. It happens so easily. I believe it's happened in my own life, where suddenly you catch yourself sort of, you know, just kind of like in this white lie area, if there is such a thing. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in a place where things are really bad. This happened to me when I was about 5. Those rest of you about 3 weeks ago, amen. But me only a long time ago, because, you know. So, you know, I have to say that, because half of you are saying, thank God the pastor's like that. And some of you are saying, yo, this pastor's bad. So I must just tell you, it was very long ago, amen. But the truth is that when it comes to the Word of God, there's no compromise. There is only one truth, one way, and His name is Jesus. Amen. So, this morning we're going to get into the second part of the armor, which is the breastplate. Now, let's take a look at it. It says, in verse 14, it says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. What we need to understand is that this part of armor is a very important part of the Roman soldier's armor. It's the part that would protect his heart, the vital organs. It is the part of weaponry that was probably the most attractive looking. So when you saw a soldier walking from far, you'll notice that he would have a very impressive, sparkling, shining breastplate. And oftentimes those breastplates would have designs on them with perhaps the group that they were associated to. If you've seen Gladiator, which is a movie that came out many years ago, you'll notice that when they would go into battle, they would always look for a breastplate and they would look for a helmet. Because the breastplate would kind of be a symbol of what they looked like. So it was very impressive looking, but it was also more than just an impressive looking piece of armor. It was also a vital part of their weaponry for protection purposes, and then obviously also for look purposes. But let's take a look at this now. 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 7 says this. It says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. So we see in 2 Corinthians, armor is referred to as righteousness. Now, this is not the first place in the Bible where we see reference to righteousness as a breastplate. In fact, if we go to Isaiah 59, verse number 17, you'll see Isaiah refers to a breastplate representing righteousness. Isaiah 59, 17, he says, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate. As a breastplate. This breastplate shines beautifully. It was glamorous. It was a piece of weaponry that stood out. Now, what's important for us to understand is that righteousness is such a gift. I'm going to say that again. Amen. It's a gift, and it's so powerful that Paul refers to this as a part of armor that has to be put on. Because so many believers struggle with this part of their walk. And because they struggle with this part of their walk, they feel unworthy. They feel defeated. They feel that they've messed up and they can't get up and they just can't fulfill destiny because they keep making mistakes. Well, the reality is that righteousness is a gift. It's a gift, but it must be put on. You have to take His righteousness and you have to put it on. Let's take a look at it. It says in 2 Corinthians verse number 5, chapter number 5, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Romans 5:17 says, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. What we need to understand is that this is a very attractive piece of armor. Because when we receive that righteousness, we begin to walk in a different stance when it comes to the enemy. We begin to walk with boldness. And I'll show you a little bit more a little bit later on in the sermon, how powerful this is. You must understand that Jesus was righteous. He paid the ultimate price and he was innocent. So he took your place. So because of your unrighteousness, his righteousness has now been given to us. But we have to put it on. So we are made righteous because he was righteous. And he paid a penalty and he was innocent. But we are not innocent. But we take his righteousness and we put it on as a breastplate. And listen, when the enemy sees you, he sees the righteousness of Christ on you. And when he sees this weapon, yes, I'm going to say it again. It's a weapon. It's a weapon against the enemy because the enemy sees it and he becomes blinded to what you do wrong and your mistakes and your shortcomings because it's the righteousness of Christ that becomes our righteousness. It is a gift, guys. So put it on. Be proud of it. Because it's a gift from Him. Amen. Amen. You guys are very excited this morning. It's great. The breastplate was both a defensive and offensive part of the armor. Isaiah 61 verse number 10 says this. Isaiah 61 verse number 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garment of salvation. Look at this. And this is written in the Old Testament. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride ordains herself with her jewels. His righteousness protects you and it covers you. Every time the enemy accuses you, God says you are innocent because of the blood of Jesus. The problem is when the enemy accuses you, it's you that's the problem. It's me that's the problem. Because he comes and he accuses, and we don't cover ourselves with this garment of righteousness. The reality is that our salvation has made us right. We are in right standing with God because of the blood of Jesus. So now we're covered. We are sealed. We are in his blood. We are in Christ. Remember, put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God, church. Listen to me. The whole armor of God. All my life, I've wondered, what is it? Is it the word? Is it, what is it? The whole armor of God is Jesus. You've got to put him on. You've got to put him on in every single part. Every part of the armor actually represents the Christ. Listen, it's the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The word is the truth. He is the word. It's his righteousness that you need to put on. It's his faith that we need to get us through to the other side. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is all him, because he is the word of God. Come on. Amen. So it's his righteousness. Proverbs 10:30 says this: the righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inherit the earth. It is also an offensive weapon. I cannot even express to you how I've seen when it comes to spiritual warfare. And now you move into the other realm of warfare, where you're no longer just consumed with yourself, which is half the battle that we have to deal with, because we have to deal with ourselves every day, right? But if we can get up in the morning and move past that and recognize that we're in him, that we have his righteousness, we get to the place where we start to be used by God. Pastor Jock spoke about the kingdom of God last week. And one of the things when it comes to the kingdom of God is the power of casting out demons. When the kingdom of heaven is displayed by the finger of God, the Spirit of God comes upon you and you speak and you declare and you decree and you command that demon to leave and it goes. Listen, when you know your place, when you know your authority and that breastplate is on you and you speak to the enemy, it's like a bright light that actually comes. And the enemy, I've actually heard this. In deliverance, I've heard demons scream out, "You are blinding me. You are blinding me." I'm not blinding him. He's blinding him. And this is what we don't understand. But it takes us to believe, to become that conduit that he can use. Listen, God is interested in you. He's interested in your body. He needs you to do his work. We are his body. We are his moving parts on this earth. Amen. So it becomes an offensive weapon where you become bold and you step out. Very, very powerful. The Roman soldiers were very disciplined. They polished this piece of their weaponry. When he went into battle, the glare of the sun would reflect off this piece of weaponry. Remember, it's not our righteousness, but rather his righteousness that causes the enemy to be blinded. When you are in right standing with God, you shine with the light of God, and the enemy cannot stand it. But there's another thing. The Bible also says that we should seek his righteousness. Yes, we are made righteous, but we should seek his righteousness. This has become a big struggle in the church. I'm going to help you today. You're all going to say, thank you, Pastor Alex. I'm going to say, thank you, Pastor Alex, to me. Amen. Watch. It says, Matthew 5, verse number 6, blessed are those. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 6, 33 says this. Matthew 6, 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So there is a righteousness that must be sought after as well. Yes, his righteousness has come upon us and we are made righteous. But that doesn't mean that we can just live how we want and do what we want and think that it's going to be okay. Listen, eventually your mind will be consumed by the things of this world and you can get destroyed. But if you seek his righteousness as well, then you'll be walking in the light. Sanctification. Amen. The process of sanctification. But let me break it down and make it really easy for you. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 8. Now remember, I shared with you last time that Paul in the book of Thessalonians actually also speaks of the armor of God. And look at what he says here. This is very powerful. He says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Of faith and love. Breastplate is the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ. But breastplate is also faith and love. So in order for us to seek after righteousness, don't focus on your sins, don't focus on your weaknesses, don't focus on what you do right or wrong. Rather focus on those two things, faith and love. Because if you seek those things, the righteousness will come on its own. Watch this now. Watch this now. This is powerful. Romans 4 verse number 3 says this, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for him for righteousness. Why? Because he believed. When you begin to believe and truly believe, it will be accounted for you righteousness. So faith produces righteousness. Romans 1, 16 to 17 says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by their faith. So yes, we have been made righteous, but an ingredient